Well, we continue this season of Lent in a series thinking about words spoken in the Passion of Jesus. We started it Ash Wednesday, and we began with words from Pilate, "Behold the man." We return today to Pilate, who asked the question of Jesus we just heard, "What is truth?" Let us bow for a word of prayer before the message today. O God, send now your Holy Spirit, whom Jesus said would lead us into all truth, to help us live in ways that reflect what is true about you. Amen. The wife of C.S. Lewis, Joy Davidman, who died at just the age of 45, was a theologian in her own right. In her book, Smoke on the Mountain, she reflects on Pilate's question, "What is truth?" She says, "We must understand Pilate to understand ourselves, for he may have represented the very modern view that truth is, after all, a relative and subjective affair, an agreed upon convention, a matter of expediency. And that therefore, we are justified in doing anything that seems expedient, even as Pilate." Joy Davidman is making the point that Pilate wasn't sincerely asking the question about truth. He was asking sarcastically, as if truth is not a clear thing. You have your truth, I have my truth, and truth can be a foggy issue so that we can do expedient things. In other words, so that we can live by the truth that we want. We must understand Pilate if we are to understand ourselves. But Pilate is a tricky cat to understand. He's presented to us in a number of ways as if we're not quite sure what to make of this individual. By the way, he's presented in some of the Gospels in the Passion story of Jesus, it would appear that Pilate was a fairly weak figure, that he didn't really want to put Jesus to death, but he didn't know what to do. In fact, some Gospels, it would sound like, even defend Pilate. Matthew's gospel, for instance, brings Pilate's wife into the matter. While Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." And then a few verses later, Pilate saw that he could do nothing. Isn't that a sad commentary for the governor of Judea? And yet, on the other hand, the first creed of the church said Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate. They laid blame squarely at his feet. They knew that he had the power to act. Luke even tells us the story of the time that Pilate slaughtered a group of Galilean Jews who came to make their sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem. So bad it was. They said you couldn't tell the difference between their blood and the blood of their sacrifices. They want us to remember, Pilate was no helpless leader. He was standing there the day Jesus was sentenced to death, and he could have done something about it. So which is the truth? John's gospel describes the trial of Jesus with the greatest detail and includes the most information about the encounter between Jesus and Pilate. For certain, John presents Jesus in a way as to show that he perhaps did not want to see Jesus executed, but you can't really tell why. Is it because he just did not want to give in to the religious leaders who were asking for that crucifixion, and therefore it was a power play? Or was he worried about the way they would report his actions to Rome, and so He's simply protecting his position. We can't say for sure. But what we do know is Pilate interrogates Jesus for himself to get at the truth about him. Upon their first meeting, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Some commentators say you have to put the emphasis on you, because he's meeting Jesus for the first time, and whatever he saw, it made him say, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus responds, "Do you ask on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And Pilate rather defensively says, "Do I look like a Jew to you?" Notice Pilate is the one with power interrogating Jesus, but it seems like the roles have switched, and now Jesus is interrogating Pilate. Jesus acknowledged that his kingdom is not of this world, and Pilate jumps on this. "So, you are a king," and Jesus answered, "For this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." At which point Pilate scoffs and says, "What is truth?" And he walks away. Has there ever been a more significant time in our history to talk about this verse and this question? Has there ever been a time, at least in our lifetimes, in which truth itself has been debated like it is today? Every truth of every kind, just about, is questioned. We debate the truth about climate change, to the efficacy of vaccines, to critical race theory, to UFOs, and the 2020 election. I read an article the other day that AI has generated the voices that it sounds just like the person speaking, of people like Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, the heroes of many young people. And people can begin a relationship with these voices. They'll talk back to you. And pretty soon you begin to think, "I'm talking to my hero. I'm talking to Taylor. I'm talking to Travis." Except these voices can say all kinds of things. There's one story about a girl sharing something difficult going on in their life and how she responded. And her hero said back to her, "That was a silly thing. If you do something like that, you might as well kill yourself." And the girl did. What is truth? A Gallup poll found that 69% of Americans said you can't trust the truthfulness of news reports. Nearly two-thirds said you can't distinguish truth from falsehood coming from elected officials. And two-thirds of adults believe truth is relative to each person and the situation. Actually, I might come close to agreeing with that last one. Truth is something we all have to determine, what we think about it and what our source is. There's an old saying that water always flows downhill. Now, that's an important saying to remember if you see water dripping in your house. If you go looking for the source of the leak, you better make sure you're going higher up. Why? Because water always runs downhill. Except for this time in 1812. There is an earthquake in Mississippi, and it caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards for 10 days. Does water always run downhill? What is truth? There was a time we were told that the earth is flat and the sun revolves around the earth. After all, just look up. And people were arrested and some even sentenced to death for disagreeing with such a belief. What is truth? In more recent history, from the 1930s to the 1950s, we were told that doctors declared there's no harm in cigarette smoking. More recently, we were told that opioids are a safe pain reliever. Heroin was introduced into this country as a safe alternative to morphine. What is truth? We do this with the Bible. We bring our questions of truth to Scripture. Is it true? Is it not true? Think about the creation story. Was the universe created in just 6 days? Some people say, absolutely, just read your Bible. Read Genesis 1. It's right there. It's true. Other people say, well, now, wait a minute. What about science? What about carbon dating? We know that the earth is hundreds of millions of years old. What about evolution? Which is truth? And I wonder if we miss the most important sentence in the story, how every day of creation it says, and God saw that it was good. What is true? Take the story of Jonah. Was Jonah really swallowed by a great fish and he survived? Is it true? Is it not true? Back and forth we go as if that is the determiner of the story. And we miss the last line. God said, should I not be concerned about Nineveh and its 120,000 inhabitants? What is truth? By the way, Nineveh is very near modern-day Iran. On and on the debates go. Did Moses part the Red Sea? Was Jesus born of a virgin? Did he rise from the dead? We get so hard-pressed to determine the truth that we can miss what's true. I was with a group of pastors this past week in Dallas. We meet every few years. It's the pastors of the largest Methodist churches, but that picture has changed a lot in the last couple of years. There are a lot of younger pastors now who are in that group, so many that I don't know. So the other morning, I was sitting on the shuttle to ride from the hotel to the church we were meeting, and I was with a pastor from New Lenox, Illinois. We got to talking, and I said, well, tell me where you went to seminary. He said, I went to Dubuque. That's in Iowa. It's a Presbyterian seminary. Now, I was just curious. He's a Methodist pastor. Why did he go to Dubuque? I don't have anything against Presbyterians. One of them bought me lunch one time. I like Presbyterians. But he started talking about his call to ministry. He said, when my wife and I graduated from college, I took a job at a church. While I was working that job, I felt a call to ministry. But I knew that that would mean I'd have to go back to school. I'd have to go to seminary. And we were flat broke. I couldn't afford that. So we prayed about it. Should we pursue this or not? And both of us came to the conclusion that if this is a call of God, then we should pursue it. And somehow we'll figure out a way. So as he was looking at where to go to school, he learned about a program at Dubuque that for people who were working in a church, as he was, there was a program that paid full tuition. I said, full tuition? That sounds like God's grace. He says, oh, you bet it was. Now, was it really God's grace, or was it just coincidence? How are you going to prove that? What is truth? But I'll tell you what. This young man believed it's true. And by the way, I listened to him talk. I can tell that he helps the people of his church believe it's true. What is true to you? In the deepest part of your soul, what do you believe is true about God? About our world, and about what God wants to do in this world of ours. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Oh, he was jaded. Pilate was jaded, and perhaps for good reason. Pilate probably lived in a world where he saw people of power twist the truth all the time. He lived in a world where he probably saw folks commit even crimes. And he learned how to walk away and say, it's just the way things are. What are you going to do about it anyway? And he probably learned, if you want to keep your job, you best say nothing. Pilate, he had become a cynic. But how do we keep from becoming like Pilate, especially in a world like ours, where it seems impossible anymore to know what's truth, when you feel like you can't really rely on any news story, any report, even videos you see? How do you know that such things are true or just falsified? How do you keep from going through life just scoffing all the time and being jaded like Pilate? Maybe the answer is to make truth our aim. Simone Weil was a Jewish activist and philosopher in the first half of the 20th century. And through a number of mystical experiences, she became a believer in Jesus. Now, I don't call her a Christian, only because I believe her faith went deeper than a religious label, but Christ was real to her. One time she said, "Christ likes us to prefer truth to him, because before being Christ, he is truth. If one turns aside from him to go toward the truth, one will not go far before falling into his arms." That's a profound statement. Make truth your goal, and you will find Christ. Not doctrine, not religion. Not the Jesus as presented by some preachers and churches, but him. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." You can see the sentence on the screen. Think about that. Jesus said, "I am the truth," because he is the way of life. His life, his way is true. Think about what that means. What do you see in the life of Jesus? You see his compassion for all people, people of other faiths, people of other races and nationalities, people who are hurting, people who are suffering. You see compassion for everyone. You see in Jesus a commitment to justice. That's why he got so mad at religious authorities. It wasn't because of their beliefs per se. It was because of the way they lived out their beliefs. Doing things like using religious law to take property from widows to put in the temple, leaving widows penniless. Jesus would lash out against them for purposes of justice. We think about how Jesus' life teaches us about the power of forgiveness and sacrificial love, that you can be terribly wronged, but if you don't allow that to make you wrong and trust the outcomes to God, just as Jesus had to, you find that that has so much greater power in the world. Truth was standing in front of Pilate, and Pilate scoffed. But maybe there's some things Pilate can teach us. Maybe there are some things we can learn from Pilate. Like allowing truth to interrogate us. Sometimes we get so caught up in our pursuit of truth. But what happens if we let truth pursue us. Raul Rodriguez was a border patrol and protection officer serving on the Mexico border. Before that, he worked with Immigration and Naturalization Services. He strongly believed in the immigration policies of our country, and he was proud to carry them out. He said, "I would gladly die for my country." And he believes that he helped the deportation of perhaps thousands of people until that all came to a crashing halt when he found out that his life had been built upon a lie. When he was helping his brother in 2018 fill out a visa application, and his name was a part of it, then as a part of that process, federal officials did a background check on him, and they found out that there was a Mexican birth certificate with his name on it. He went to his father with this information, and for the very first time, the father confessed a secret, that he had not been born in the United States. He had been born just over the border in Mexico. And they paid a midwife to falsify a United States birth certificate so that he might stand a chance of a better life in Texas. He said the day he found that out, it was like all of the blood flowed right out of his head down to his feet because he knew what it meant. That he immediately lost his job, that he now would have a deportation process begun on him, and that it would cost him his friends. He had no idea what that was going to feel like. He had been hailed by many people as a hero, a Mexican-American who supported our deportation policies. He had even been awarded in Washington, D.C. in 2006 for the aid he contributed in a smuggling bust. But now, people he had known who were his close friends sneered at him and said, "How could you turn on your own people?" He got depressed. His wife, a U.S. citizen who works for Immigration Services, became very worried about him. She said, "Some days I would come home and I didn't know what I might find." A judge ruled somewhat in his favor that he could begin a process for getting established as an American citizen, but only 4,000 people a year are granted that right. It's no guarantee. As he got more and more discouraged, someone from an organization called Repatriate Our Patriots came to him, letting him know that there are a lot of other people out there just like him, people in the military, veterans who served our country and for all kinds of different reasons were on the other side of the deportation issue. And with his experience and his knowledge, he could be very helpful. And so he started getting involved. He said, "You know, I spent all these years of my life getting people out of this country, and now I'm trying to help people get back into this country." He said, "I believe in our immigration laws, and I believe they should not be violated, but my experience now has shown me other truths, that sometimes people end up on the wrong side of things, and sometimes the laws keep you from doing the right thing." It's given him new life and it's given him new hope. He, in fact, says it's like a call, like he's found a new purpose for his life, that this is what he should be doing. It's not a spiritual story. It's not something that names God's hand outright, but it kind of is. Because it's a story about somebody who's come to an awareness of truth about himself. And you start digging around in your search for truth, and guess what? At some point, it's going to get personal. And it's going to get to an understanding of your own reality and who you are. And for this person, it has brought him to an understanding of who he is, that his identity is more than just the stamp of a passport. It is more than just the citizenship in an earthly nation. The citizenship is higher. He's found purpose in being able to serve others. Sometimes we have to stop and say, what is the truth seeking of me? You know, something else we can learn from Pilate, and that is to understand how we have more agency than we give ourselves credit for. Pilate saw that he could do nothing. You know, when you say that, you will do nothing. And sometimes it's so easy to shrug our shoulders to say today and say, you know, what can I do about it anyway? What can I do? But what if we ask the question differently? What can I do? If we remove whether or not we see how it's going to make a difference, we might discover some little way that we all have authority, we have influence, we have the ability to make a positive difference in this world. And when we ask God, where can you use me? We find God doing something that allows us to make a difference. One final thing we can learn from Pilate is we need God's help to show us what that difference is. Pilate wasn't interested in the truth about Jesus because he didn't see Jesus as someone who could help him get what he wanted, his expediency. And that's probably true. But what if we make our only focus doing what God wants? If we truly do that, we may see the world differently. Our conclusions about the world might change. Our understanding of what God wants to do in our world might become different. We just spent a bunch of weeks starting off this year thinking about discernment. But if we don't practice that discernment, what good is it? If we don't pray, if we don't spend time learning about the life of Jesus and getting an understanding of what his values are and making that our source of truth, then what are we doing here? God has truth to carry out in this world, but God does it through people. But it means that we have to release truth the way we want it to be. And to say, God, how do you want your truth to be lived through me? The theologian said, we must understand Pilate if we are to understand ourselves. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, may we look to you as a source of truth, whose way of life in your Son, Jesus Christ, is truth for us. May we desire not just to learn and to know such truth, but to live it, to let you carry out your will through our lives. May we desire this day, Lord, to know you better, to study you more, to be true disciples, which means to learn from you. For our world needs people like Jesus. Our world needs his compassion and his justice and his forgiveness and his mercy and most of all, his trust that you're in charge. Let us be the people of your truth. In Christ's name, amen.